I have been looking forward to this next interview. And the intro goes like this. If you're considering a bit of DIY and pondering whether or not you can remove a wall from inside your house, builder Stan Scott is just the man to ask. And he joins me now. Hi, Stan.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You about top on a plane?
Yeah, quite exciting, actually. Just flying out of Gisborne up to Auckland for the long weekend, get the kids to catch up with some friends. And in fact, they're really looking forward to catching up with a couple of your kids as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the wives have started already, from what I hear.
Yes.
I love you. Yes. How's the airport, by the way? Does it seem normal or not?
What's that, sorry?
The airport. Does it seem normal or does it seem quiet?
No, it's completely empty. Apart from my two kids, there's like three other people in here, and I got here an hour early just in case. I thought it might have been a little bit of a shenanigans at the airport, but yes, I think there's like only one or two flights out of Gisborne at the moment a day. So things are pretty quiet still. So I think we're pretty well distanced in the plane. There's not many people on it flying out, which is pretty good.
I love your topic today. So you, as people look around their homes, people are lucky enough to own their own home, and they're thinking kind of in their heads, what would our house be like if we knocked that wall down? What's your first piece of advice?
You know what, Jesse? When people first buy their house, I get this question asked a lot, you know, like, you know, in the top of houses that people sort of have been buying over the last 15, 20 years of, you know, like your state house, your bungalow, sort of slightly older houses where the kitchen was always disconnected from the lounge or living area. So one of the most common things to be asked or that a homeowner wants to do is rip out that wall between the kitchen and the living or the dining or whatever, just to open the whole thing up. We live a little bit different now. And I have encountered on many different house inspections where people have just pulled out walls without giving any regard to the facts of bracing or whether it may be a load-bearing wall or not. So up until probably within the last 20-odd years, the houses used to be built, all the exterior walls were, generally speaking, that is, with a 4-inch, 100mm thick wall or the exterior walls, and all your internal walls were generally a 3-inch size thickness wall, unless it was a load-bearing wall, which was 4 inches wide. So it was a very easy way to tell.
Right.
You know, a thicker wall would take the load a little bit more. And if you're a little bit unsure of it, you could pop your head up into the roof and have a look to see if there's any struts coming down from the ceiling onto any internal walls, and that'll
right.
give you a pretty good indication whether that wall is bearing the load of the roof. And then, so it doesn't mean that you can't remove that wall. It just means that your beam that you install in there will have to be great enough to take the load of the roof. Now, there's a couple of different loads of roof as far as council are concerned. There's a load, a heavy roof and a light roof. And a heavy roof is deemed like a concrete tile roof, you know, like something like a corrugated iron roof is obviously deemed a light roof.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, in different parts of the country, there's also wind loading and snow loading and, you know, high wind area, all that sort of stuff count towards what your walls might be loaded up as or your roof maybe is and what your roof is projecting onto, what's supporting it. So, you know, back, you know, from the 90s and earlier, a lot of the internal framing of your roof was just 4x2 rafters. And then, you know, most of our roofs now are trusses, pre-made trusses, which generally span from one side of the room to the other, or large beams that are taking that load. So if you want to take a wall out, you can do so, but you would definitely need to talk to a licensed building practitioner or an engineer. You can, if it's a non-load, if it's a not a heavy roof, corrugated iron roof, say, it's a lot easier to remove that wall and have a beam installed. If you've got a cockatile roof and it's a load-bearing wall, then it's going to be a bigger, heavier beam, obviously, to support the load of a heavier roof. Now, there's also wind factors involved. So, like, every single wall within your house has a loading to take for bracing for wind blowing, you know, horizontally into the building. So doesn't matter how big that wall is, every wall has a certain amount of bracing. So if you take a wall that's even a metre, 2 metres long, you will still need to transfer those bracing units that's within that wall onto another wall in the same direction. And it's relatively easy to do, and it can be done without too much fuss, but you just need someone to guide you in the right direction, just to make sure that you're not pulling out anything you shouldn't. So the New Zealand Building Code, which is the 3604, gives us, as builders, licensed practitioners, up to about a 3.6 metre beam. Anything over that has to be specified by an engineer. So if you've got a span that's bigger than approximately 3.6 metres, then you're definitely going to need to get an engineer to draw it up. Or if it is a load-bearing wall that's supporting like a heavy roof, definitely going to need to get an engineer to work out something like a steel beam to go in there, or a flitch beam or something like that, just to ensure that the bracing is put in place, you've got suitable piles underneath to support that beam, and that the loading of the roof is supported.
So, and what about the council? Are they interested in what you're doing at this point?
Definitely. So if it is a relatively large sort of a beam, I'd 100% recommend getting an engineer to draw it up for you. It won't cost you that much. And talk to him whether he thinks it should go through the consent process or not. The least you can do is get an engineer to draw it up, get a licensed building practitioner to install that beam for you, and at least you've got paperwork to show that it's been designed properly and it's been installed properly. And then someone later on down the line comes and has a look at your limb report and say, hey, there should have been a wall in there. And you can say, well, and they say there wasn't a building report filed for it. You can say, well, actually, I've got all the engineer's work here, and here's some photographs of the beam installed, and here's a photograph of a tape measure in the hole to show you how deep the holes were underneath the beam. All that sort of stuff adds up. So for people that don't want to apply for a building permit, if you did need one, at least you can do is make sure that you get the right people involved to design it for you.
How do you knock a wall down?
The best thing to do is don't do what you see all those DIY shows where they just get a sledgehammer and smash through it. Take your skirting off, remove the, generally it'll be wall, you know, like a board, remove the plaster board, and then have a look in there to see if there's any pipes or wires, and ensure you get the plumber and spark around, disconnect anything before you start. And then, so, look, if you want to save some bucks, you know, get those trades in to cap anything off. You can remove all your cladding and just leave your studs in place. So all that yucky demolition work has been done, and then a builder can come in and just focus on pulling out the rest of the studs and installing the beam. And then, you know, half the work is just doing the demolition. So installing a beam just depends on your roof makeup, or if, you know, some people want the beam hidden so you don't see the beam hanging down in your ceiling space, in your living area or whatever. They want it up in the ceiling, which is fine, but it's just a lot more work. It all comes down to budget, really.
Love it. How long should you budget?
Well, depends how big it is, you know, and how substantial the beam is. But generally, say in a domestic situation, a beam up to about 3.5 metres long, I could get one of those in, generally me and another guy in a day, and then possibly a second day just to finish up doing maybe patching floorboards and then doing some, chipboard over top. And then you can either paint it or stop it yourself up to that. So most of the work can be done in a day to 2 days in a standard, pretty easy situation.
Love it, Stan. Can I ask you one really short question that's been troubling me?
Yeah, of course.
How do you get a screw exactly where you want it to go in? So if I'm worked out where I want my little hook to go in to hang a picture, and I know where I want it. And then, but when I start drilling, the drill just slips a little bit, and it shouldn't matter, but it's just enough to put everything else out.
Yeah, look, I'm feeling your pain there. What I would usually do is always drill a little pilot hole first. Say, for example, if you're doing a 10-mil hole, whether it be in a piece of timber or a wallboard or in a piece of steel, you know, like engineers and metal workers and the likes will use a hole punch or a little centre punch to dot a little mark so it guides exactly where the drill bit's going. So if I'm putting a drill bit in a piece of timber that's like in a finished piece of timber and I want it to be exactly in that spot, I'll probably drill like a 1 or a 2 millimetre hole just to ensure that is exactly where the larger drill bit's going to go into.
Okay. Yeah.
Or you could bang a little nail in first if you don't have a smaller. Yeah, so just a pilot hole will kick you off there, Jesse.
It's Dan Scott. Lovely to chat. Thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend away.
Thank you. Cheers, bud. Bye-bye.